you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Welcome to Madison.
Go tell that long time.
Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making, and boy, was there a lot of it made yesterday. The biggest story that broke, it broke in the evening. The FBI, by Trump's own admission in a press release, raided his home at Mar-a-Lago yesterday. Now, raid is a vernacular. It's kind of a trite phrase that people love to use, journalists love to use. What happened was they executed a search warrant. They went in. When you execute a search warrant, the recipient of your affections has no say over it. I'm going to talk about this in a couple of different layers and contexts. First of all, the mechanics, how it was happened, or how it happened, why it happened, and so forth. Second, the potential consequences. And then third, the reaction from the Republican Party and Trump. So let's just start with the mechanics of it. At some point yesterday, FBI agents showed up at Trump's home at Mar-a-Lago. Mar-a-Lago is a resort, but Trump has apartments or a home at Mar-a-Lago. Trump was not in Mar-a-Lago at the time. He was in New York City, where he's preparing to give testimony in a case where he's required to give a deposition against allegations that he committed financial fraud. And his children were up there with him because several of them have been subpoenaed in New York also. Trump is guarded by Secret Service. So when he travels, all retired presidents and their spouses and their minor children are covered by Secret Service protection, security. Well, they also left a Secret Service delegation at Mar-a-Lago to guard his apartment. So when he's gone, no one sneaks in and plants a bomb, that kind of thing. Can't have that. The UK is a lot more lax on that. They caught a guy on palace grounds with a crossbow out to kill Queen Elizabeth. I'm not kidding. Roaming around. I mean, in the United States, you would not have a guy on the White House grounds or anywhere near Biden, or frankly, anywhere near any former president roaming around with a crossbow. In any event, the FBI had contacted the Secret Service just beforehand to let them know they were going to execute a search warrant. So the Secret Service would have to let them in, and they did. Then the Secret Service stood guard outside while they conducted their search warrant. What is a search warrant? You've heard of it, a search warrant. Under the Fourth Amendment, you have a right to protection from unreasonable searches and seizures. But you don't have a right to protection from any search and seizure. And the way we define reasonableness is that if a law enforcement entity, can be a police department, can be the FBI, can be anybody, but connected with the government, wants to go in and search your premises or your office and take something, they have to get a judge to sign off on it, to sign a search warrant. They can't do it on their own. So they go before a judge with an affidavit setting out facts. In other words, it's under oath. Some FBI agent signs it. And it's filed in court. So this one day will come out. And it says, there is probable cause to believe that there is evidence crime at this location in Mar-a-Lago. And here is the crime. Here's the specific statute. And here is what we want to seize. The judge reads that and he can say, no, I don't think that's good enough. Or he can say, okay. In this case, he said, okay. That means that there's probable cause. Probable cause is a different standard from beyond a reasonable doubt. Beyond a reasonable doubt is what you have to convince juries of at a trial. But probable cause is more likely than not. That's the standard in a civil case, not a criminal case, to get a verdict. And what it means is probable cause means that people look at it and they say it's more likely than not that such and such occurred. Well, in this case, what was the statute? What was the crime? There was a lot of speculation early in the evening because there's a lot of different crimes that Trump is under investigation for. One is stealing documents from the White House that were classified, which is a felony, taking them with him. Number two is his involvement with the fake electors. That's obstructing Congress. Number three is his conduct with Raffensperger in Georgia, his extortion. And number four is his cheating federally insured banks in New York City, federally insured banks, by lying about valuations of his properties. Now, any one of those is a felony. In the course of the evening last night, it became apparent from various sources throughout the media that the focus on this raid, on this execution of the search warrant, was based on his having taken highly classified, in some cases, highly sensitive, top secret documents away from the White House, which is a felony, and just keeping them down there. They want them back. And what's the background of this? What's the background of this? The background of this is that when he left, there was evidence that he had flushed documents, some secret documents, down toilets in the White House. In a bizarre case, an aide said she walked by and he was chewing up a small note, not a large document, and swallowing it of some form or other. He didn't just throw it out in the garbage or for filing. But what happened was he left the White House January 20, 2020. It's over 2 years later. It's 2.5 years later. And the National Archives Service and the government intelligence agencies have been trying to get these documents back without trying to make too big a fuss if they could. They met with him and his lawyers a year ago. He returned 15 boxes and they met and he said that that's all he had. And some of the documents in those boxes were ripped up. But a lot of them were not, they're classified, but they wouldn't necessarily be top secret. The government, our intelligence services, has found out that he kept documents and they executed a search warrant to get those back. Now let's talk a little bit about that. This is an important issue. If he lied, or he and his lawyers conspired to lie and conceal the fact that he kept more documents, didn't tell the government and lied about having them, that's a felony, that's obstruction. But more to the point, what kind of documents would be so secret that the government would execute a search warrant? And he kept saying, oh, I'm a former president. Yeah, you are a former president. But if you're a Soviet spy, no longer Soviet, Russian, or if you're selling things or keeping it for blackmail, no one cares if you're president or not. That's a felony. What are some of these documents or what could they be? He had access to the most sensitive secrets of the U.S. government and foreign policy. The CIA, when he came in, stopped briefing him on covert operations in Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, and other governments around the world. We have spies. We have double agents in all those countries. We had one in Russia who was one of Putin's closest confidants, and he was working for us. When Putin would have a meeting, he'd tell everybody, okay, leave. I just want to meet with A, B, and C here. And one of them was our guy. When Trump was elected, the FBI and the CIA realized that at some point he would know who that was. And either on purpose or shooting his mouth off, would let the Russians know. They pulled the guy. They pulled our main spy against Putin to save his life. They initially briefed him on a confidant that we had with Al-Qaeda. It was at the Israelis who had groomed this guy. The guy was an Arab, Sunni, inner circle of Al-Qaeda. And one day he told the Israelis, Al-Qaeda is now planning to use liquids to blow up airplanes. They found a way to have people bring in vials of liquids and then mix them up together in the bathroom, you know, several passengers, and blow up an airplane. The Israelis told us, and that saved some airplanes. That's why you can't have more than 3 ounces of any liquid going on an airplane right now. Before, you could have taken on a quart of coffee or anything you wanted, but even if it wasn't really coffee. Trump shut his mouth off. Trump was talking to Sergey Lavrov, foreign minister. They said, just confidentially, and of course he didn't have to say where he got the info, they're using liquids. The Russians immediately told their Muslim allies in the Middle East. The Israelis pulled a guy, a highly important plant in Al-Qaeda, because he would have been killed because Trump shut his mouth off. Trump, for instance, invited the Ruskies, including Sergey Lavrov, the foreign minister, to the White House with no Americans present, none. Not only no journalists, but no senators or congressmen from either party, and nobody in his own State Department. And just sat there chuckling and talking to them and telling them that he'd taken care of the Russia investigation by firing Comey. You know, I think he's a traitor. I think that he has collaborated with the Russians, but even if you don't think he did it on purpose, the guy's ego is beyond belief. Now, everybody has an ego, but I got to tell you something. If I or you or anybody were elected president, despite the controversy, the honor of that office would impress you. It would weigh on you. You'd be occupying an office that George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Franklin Roosevelt, Thomas Jefferson, Harry Truman, Dwight Eisenhower, John F. Kennedy, Ronald Reagan, occupied. This clown, when he first got in, said he would only do it part-time. He was going to keep some work at ABC and his TV show. And then, of course, he didn't do that. But he'd shoot his mouth off. He would shoot his mouth off, and he endangered our secret agents. The FBI, the CIA decided that they would, in their briefing, they would not give him confidential information that could conceivably compromise our undercover agents, because they didn't trust him. When Joe Biden had the Al-Qaeda guy assassinated the other day that the Taliban were hiding, it's customary to inform the last 3 living presidents confidentially. You call them up on a secure phone, you tell them, so that they're not taken by surprise and they don't make public statements. In this case, Biden called Obama, Biden called George W. Bush, but he did not call Trump, because he knew Trump cannot be trusted. So what were these documents? Trump had access to documents in the White House that showed nuclear strike targets in Russia in the event of a nuclear war. Memos that would say that this strike target is lightly guarded, but it's down for repairs. So if we had to strike in the next 30 days, they couldn't retaliate from that target. It might even show strike targets in Europe. Tell you something. Our Secret Service, or our CIA, listens in on phone calls with some of our allies. They were tapping Merkel's phone in Germany. And remember WikiLeaks? And remember the traitors that disclosed those emails that disclosed that? That was not Trump, but Trump had access to all that kind of thing. Trump, for instance, would have access to compromising information on foreign leaders. And this is very highly classified material that's eyes only for a handful of people. Now, How much, if any, of this did he steal? Did he take? And did he lie about it when he turned back 15 boxes and said, that's all I have, and a lot of them were ripped up? There will be an inventory. We can get into that after the break. There's a lot more to talk about this issue. And I'm going to talk about the shameful Republican response right after the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
You can run on.